Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In his novel, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, C.S. Lewis depicts Aslan, who is his Christ figure, as dying to redeem a traitor. Instead of a traitor dying to fulfill the law's demands, Aslan is tortured, bound to a stone table, and killed. The parallels to Jesus seem fairly obvious. As the children mourn the death of Aslan, a loud crack rings out throughout the land. The children then turn to investigate, and they see that the stone table, which had at one point held the body of Aslan, was broken in two, and Aslan was nowhere to be found. Then Aslan appears on the scene, risen from the dead, full in his glory, and the children asked him to tell them what exactly had happened. And he says, "When a willing victim who had committed no treachery was killed in a traitor's stead, the table would crack and death itself would start to work backward." Death working backward is a beautiful image of what we have just finished walking through with Jesus. Last week, we witnessed his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, the institution of the Lord's Supper, his death, and now, last night and this morning, his resurrection from the dead. Jesus is the willing victim who committed no treachery, who died in the traitor's stead. And dear saints, we are the traitors. We have scorned the Lord's gracious gift by our life of sin. Ours is the sentence of death, and yet he is the willing victim who takes death upon himself. The gospel writers specifically mention the release of Barabbas and the condemnation of Jesus in order to hammer home this point for us in case we, like Peter, just weren't ready to get it yet. Barabbas was not a good guy, but Jesus was absolutely willing to die for him. Barabbas is a picture of each of us in the crucifixion story. He went free, but Jesus went to the cross and grave to bear the penalty for his sin. And if he bore the sin of Barabbas, how much more does he bear our sins too? In the resurrection story, according to St. Mark, which we have heard this morning, we heard of the stone from the entrance of the tomb. The women were keeping vigil on the Sabbath. They brought their spices that they had mixed to prepare his body for burial. But on the way, they discussed how they might remove the stone from the entrance of the tomb. You see, graves of this kind were usually cut out of a rock, and then they were covered over by a disc-shaped rock that would have to be several feet in diameter to protect the body from grave robbers or from wild animals. And usually, what would happen is they would dig a rut in front of the grave in order that the stone could not be moved again. The only way that that stone could be moved out of that rut is if several strong men were there to remove it. But when the women got to the grave, the seal was already broken. The stone had been rolled back. It was very large, says St. Mark. And so the power of the stone to hold death was broken. Jesus, the crucified, is not there. He is risen. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
People loved by God, the resurrection of Jesus means that death doesn't run the same way anymore. No longer do the dead go into the grave, never to come out again. Instead, because of the resurrection of Jesus, death for us now works backward. Consider some of what St. Paul wrote in our epistle reading for today. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. First, he tells us that the dead will be raised imperishable. Can there be anything more contrary to our own lived experience? I have not yet seen a single person sit up in the casket at a funeral. And here's where we have to be frank for just a moment. I cannot tell you how often I have heard it said, and maybe you yourselves have said, how good a dead person looks in a casket. This is one of the lies that we tell ourselves in order to bring comfort to ourselves or to those who are mourning. But be objective for just a moment. Very rarely do I actually have this opinion, and I know that you are the same way. Death has a way of changing the coloration of the skin, and it changes the way the skin hangs around the face and the neck. You don't look the same as you're laying in the casket. You do not look natural. You do not look like you're sleeping. We don't look that way when we sleep, and I think we all know it. One of the hymns that we sang on Good Friday says of Christ and his death, "Grim death with cruel rigor hath robbed thee of thy life. Thus thou hast lost thy vigor, thy strength in this sad strife." Even Jesus' face, which once shone with radiance of the light of the sun at the transfiguration, was altered for the worse at his death. And this is Jesus we're talking about. But St. Paul tells us here that the dead will sit up again at the sounding of the trumpet, which will announce the return of Jesus on the last day. This is the necessary result of Jesus' resurrection. Death cannot hold him, for he is the life. This means that all those who belong to him cannot be held by death. The church's cemetery will be quite the sight to behold on that day as Christ calls those resting saints out of their beds to life unmarred by death. Death will work backward because its icy grip on us has been broken by Christ's victory over death. But that's not the only way the death will work backwards. Even the cause of death will be rooted out. That's why St. Paul says the dead will be raised imperishable. He goes on to say, "For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" Death won't be able to hold us, but in the resurrection, all the vestiges of death will be erased once and for all. How to describe this is a little hard because, again, we just don't really have a frame of reference. I usually tell people this means things like no more glasses, no more body aches and pains, that trick knee, or that bad back, or that Parkinson's will be gone. No more cancer, no more illnesses, no more neurological conditions. The scars that our bodies bear on the inside and on the out, and the scars of our minds will be gone forever. The closest thing that I can think to say it is that it will be like when you were a kid and you would fall down the stairs and you would pop up like nothing had happened. But right now, in my body, I know that if I stand too hard, I'll throw out my back. But I also know that it won't be like that in the resurrection. Thanks for help with that, Levi. I appreciate it. But the Bible maybe is better. It puts it this way in Revelation 7. "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." It won't be like that in the resurrection anymore. Every tear will be wiped away. Death will work backward because the cause of death, that is, sin, will be removed once for all. And so, people loved by God, we sing with Job, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last I shall see him on the earth. Even after my skin has been thus destroyed, I shall see him with my own eyes and not another. How my heart faints within me." Job knew and confessed that death would work backward for him. This is the reality that we now hold by faith. And the down payment on that is the death and resurrection of Jesus. The stone seal has been cracked and death has been destroyed. Death must now work backward because its reign is ended with the rising of the Son of God from the grave. And now he gives to us today his undying flesh and blood to eat and to drink as the medicine of immortality. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.